Good morning. We're a chatty bunch today. I like to see it. We got a lot of new faces that have been coming in the last few weeks. So praise God for that and say hello. Remember, we are the church, the body of Christ, and we love it whenever we get to spend time with all believers. So be sure and say hello. Are there any birthdays or anniversaries to start this morning? Maybe one.
Happy birthday to you.
You might have to do it two or three times.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Hey.
Praise God for that. We'll go through the announcements real quick in your bulletins. The youth group will meet Wednesday, January 19th. That'll be 6:30 to 8. The women's group will hold their first meeting of the year tomorrow at 7 p.m. at the church. Sherry will serve as hostess, and Carla will present lesson one. And a quick reminder, be next week, the annual congregational meeting will be January 23rd at the conclusion of worship. So feel free to just sit tight. I think Ann said it should only take about 10, maybe 15 minutes, and we'll kind of work through that. And just real quickly, I'm not going to get into a lot of details, but for our mission trip for the youth that we're going to be taking in June, right? We're going to do a Valentine's Day fundraiser. We're going to do one dozen or two dozen sweet treats that the kids are going to bake. Erica's, we've already kind of got that planned out. When are you doing the little, yeah. All right, so today we're going to get a picture of what to expect within the dozens, and we're going to get out sign-up sheets, and each one of the kids going, you can sign up for and buy some treats from. We'll get out more information as that comes, but just be thinking about that because all those proceeds are going to go towards our fundraiser trip up in Wisconsin where we're going to go up and just get to spend some time serving and be benevolent and get to experience life just in a little different area. So be considerate of that. Otherwise, are there any other announcements? I get ahead of myself sometimes. All right. Me especially. Let's quiet ourselves. Let's take this time, and let's just kind of let the prelude sink into our souls and get ready to worship God this morning. All right. If you open your bulletins and join me in our call to worship. No matter how far we wander from you, O God, no matter how unjust the world seems to us, O God, no matter how vulnerable our lives seem to us, O God, And no matter how unloved and uncared for we feel, oh God, thanks be to God indeed. Our first hymn this morning we're going to stand and sing is Great is Thy Faithfulness on page 43. It'll be in your gray hymnal. Page 43. Let us pray. God of all good gifts, we thank you and praise you. Your Spirit has touched our lives, bringing wisdom, ability, strength, courage, and passion. Enable us to use our gifts in service to you and to others. In all that we do and in all that we are, may your name be glorified, that your kingdom will be with us and reside here on this earth. We pray this in the name of your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. If you'd like to turn with me, our reading will be out of Psalm 36, verses 5 through 10. We're going to read Psalm 36, verses 5 through 10. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your judgments are like the great deep. You save humans and animals alike, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Oh, continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and your salvation to the upright of heart. Please join me in our confession. We pray for forgiveness when our use of your gifts has led to division and discord rather than increasing understanding and unity. We pray for forgiveness for the times when we have used the gifts of your Spirit to enhance our own glory rather than using them to serve others. We pray for forgiveness for believing one gift to be superior to another rather than celebrating the various ways in which they complement each other and build up the whole community. Fill us anew with the Holy Spirit so that our worship, witness, and service may reflect our unity and the faithful use of our diverse gifts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our words of assurance this morning. The good news is that God has continued to love and save us in and through Jesus, whom we confess as Savior and Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit. Friends, believe these words of grace. Say them with me. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. That is a message of hope right there. Our next hymn this morning is going to be Freely, Freely on page 447.
As he told me to, he said, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. I come to you to share his power as he told me to. He said, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live.
I've come to the time of offering, and I had my place marked, so bear with me while I find it real quick. I wanted to share a little bit of scripture this morning. Acts chapter 2. Comes out of verse 43. I'm going to read 43 through 47. And what I want you to pay special attention to is just that we can give ourselves and offer ourselves to God in a multitude of ways. And these early believers did just that. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, They broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their numbers those who were being saved, just as much as those who sold off their possessions also brought food for the fellowship time. They cared about spending time together. And as we go into this year, that's definitely going to be a focus that I want us to have, is fellowship, spending time together, and meeting each other's needs, whether spiritually, monetarily, whatever God calls us to do. So let's take this time of offering to think about in the ways God is calling you to serve others. God, from whom all blessings flow, praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. We thank you, Father, for this time to be able to look within our hearts and to see the provision that you provide for us and just offer a part of that back to you. And I pray that you continue through the power of your Holy Spirit to bless us, you bless the offering taken in, and just grow and advance your kingdom so all can come to understand who Jesus Christ is, and that is their personal Lord and Savior, whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, gentlemen. All right, if I could get the brave souls of our kiddos to come up here today. How you doing, sir? Long time no see. We got some newcomers. Come on up. I won't bite. You can sit as far away from me as you want, I promise. I'll keep it simple. I got a simple question for you guys this morning. Do you know that God has given you a special gift? Probably not. We're a little young, but that's what I want you guys to know. And I'm going to go through a list of them here. You tell me if any of them sound like they fit for you. God gives us, through the power of His Holy Spirit, gifts of wisdom. How many of you know what that means? Well, what's being wise mean? Wise guy? Smart. It takes a smart person to have the gift of wisdom. Wisdom is kind of like, maybe you haven't experienced it, but you have enough experience to kind of know what to expect and to help others through it. Because the next gift is knowledge. Knowledge is having a bunch of information. I feel like you, Paxton, I'll use you as an example. I feel like you have a lot of knowledge already for a young man. That could be a gift from God. Did you ever think about that? What about faith? You guys believe in Jesus? You believe in God? You know, believe when life gets really, really hard and through all that? Well, some of us are given really special gifts of faith to where no matter how much hardship we face, we never stop believing. We just continue to trust God. And you know what happens when you use that gift? You inspire the people around you who maybe don't have as much faith to be strong in their faith. Let's see. I won't do all them. Gift of healing. You ever sit with a friend on the playground who's crying? Maybe they scraped their leg. They got hurt a little bit. Well, some people sit with them even longer. They don't wait till the healing takes place and it's all scabbed over. They continue to come back and they continue to see how they're feeling and how they're doing on the inside. Some people focus so much on those gifts that they're different and they're set apart from other people. Some people can do miracles. You know what a miracle is? A miracle is doing something that is completely unexpected and you never could have imagined it would have happened. God does really special gifts. They say that a baby is a miracle from God. So all women have the gift of miracles, huh? You guys are miracles. You guys are special, and you guys have gifts. So if anybody ever tells you that you're different, I want you to stop, and I want you to pray a little bit, and I want you to ask God to show you just how special you are. So remember, you guys have what from God?
Gifts. Gifts.
Say it really loud so it makes it sound like you're listening to me. Yes, you guys have gifts from God. You're so wonderful. You're good listeners, and you're attentive. So I want you to go to Sunday school, and I want you to think about how God has made you special and unique, and just try to use that. Because kids are a beautiful gift from God. Amen? Amen. We got to protect them. We got to lead them. And parents, it's up to you to help them invest and to see their gifts. So you got to kind of know yours too. All right? Anybody want to pray for me? I need a lot of prayer. Anyone want to pray in general? Maybe next time. All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you for gifts. Thank you for the gifts of children. Thank you for just the special understanding that you give us that help us understand who we are and make us feel complete in you. I pray a special blessing over the kids as they go to Sunday school, and I just ask you to lead and guide our hearts to know your son Jesus more. And all God's children said,
Amen.
All right. Besides standing up and singing in front of you guys, which is not my gift, children's message in front of everybody was definitely something that I was a little nervous about in the beginning. But it's really a beautiful thing to sit and to look at the hope and just the consideration that we have for them and the next generation and what's to come. It's a beautiful thing. But to get started this morning, I want to point out that we have two choices in the way we live our lives. One, we can spend expend a lot of our energy and efforts and our time in seeking the instant gratification of the world. There's a lot of things, and you know what they are in your life, where we can go out and we can just have that gratification right now. And we don't have to wait or be patient for anything. Or you can sacrifice the immediate pleasures of the here and now for the hope of God's eternal promise. And the main difference between believers and unbelievers is their willingness to sacrifice. Their willingness to say, I'm not going to take the pleasures of this life right now. I'm going to wait for heaven. I'm going to wait for the eternal. I'm going to wait for the promises of God to be fulfilled. And that's not easy to do. Listen to this perspective that I heard about life while I was driving up to Lincoln this week. It says, we're either coming out of the storm, we're either between storms, or we're getting ready to go into a storm. That really sunk in because I feel like I lived in this naive state of like, why do the storms keep happening? What am I doing wrong? Rather than having a healthy understanding that they are going to continue. We have to praise God in the immediate place of where we are, in the presence. We have to understand where we are because each storm that we get caught up into can catch us by surprise. And we're not prepared to be able to rely on God to lead us through that. That's a measure of faith that I hope we can come to understand as we start to work through what our individual gifts are. Life keeps happening like we're in a rainforest, just storm after storm after storm, doesn't it? As Christians, God calls us to be by the sides of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Do you guys believe that? We need to pick each other up, we need to be there, and we need to be ready for what God calls. He calls us to step up, and he calls us to use our spiritual gifts to help one another. Because I want to be clear about spiritual gifting for a minute. Spiritual gifting isn't something God's given to you to just go out and use on anybody. Spiritual gifts are what God gives us to help build up the body of Christ and believers, especially as we're going through storms, or as our brother and sister in Christ is going through storms. How great is it when life has got you beaten down, when you get that phone call of encouragement, when you get those cards in the mail that say, I'm thinking of you, I love you, I care about you, or when you don't know what to do. Like me, if I want an answer, I'm like, Erica, what am I supposed to do? She's like, you're supposed to pray about it. No. All right, I get on the phone and I pick up and I call somebody. Hey, Judy, what am I supposed to do? Well, I think, Nick, you should know best. You're supposed to pray about it. Hey, Brian, what should I do? Judy and Erica told me that I need to pray about it. Well, they're probably right. That's how it works. You know, we keep going around wanting these answers, wanting to find out right now, here, what are we supposed to do? But God gifted each of you with a unique ability to help guide other believers through the hardships of life. Why do you think the last few years have been so hard? We've been isolated. We've been separated. We haven't had that camaraderie of the faith. Faith is hard. Having people around you that believe in the same and they reinforce your beliefs helps us know that we're not crazy, right? That what we're doing is real and vibrant, because so much of the world around us takes the instant gratifications that life affords and they don't wait on God. They don't sacrifice. They don't want to see. They have a hard time going through hardship. God doesn't expect us to live like monks and to be perfect. And I'm not up here saying that we can't go out and have a good time and we can't do things that are in the world, but we cannot be of the world. We can't be characterized, you know, oh, that Christian, you know, so-and-so goes to church and all they do is gossip and this and that. All that does is tear down and deteriorate what God is building. And that is his eternal kingdom, not the one that we go out and see that is wasting away. So how do we know when we should be, using our God-given gifts? How do we know? How do we have that prompting? Well, I promise you, it is always through the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit is the potential that you have, that we tap into to help us and to let us know where we're trying to go in life. And here's the deal. The Holy Spirit cannot take nourishment from the world. The Holy Spirit in us will not grow, will not lead us, will not guide us, will not direct our hearts if all we're putting in it is things that are temporary. Cannot. Our focus the next 2 weeks will be on the individual gifts of God that all of you possess. All of you has been given a God-given gift and talent, or maybe multiple, to use for the betterment of his kingdom. Today, we're going to individually look at what those gifts are. And these are familiar to you guys. You know what they are. But I want you to take this sermon. If you don't listen to me on the week following a sermon ever again, this week, I would like for you to think about who I am in the image of God, why God created me, and what gifts I possess for the betterment of his kingdom. Because next week is all going to be about utilizing those gifts. We have a week-long sermon today of who am I to God and what gifting has he given me. So how many of you, and I really want you to raise your hands, how many of you truly know and feel like you believe that you know what your spiritual gift is? 4. Some of you might be resistant to raise your hand, but you know what that tells me? We got a lot of work to do. So please take this sermon this week and think about what your God-given gift is, because I promise you, if you petition him through prayer and supplication, that he will show you what your gift is. The difference is understanding and when to use it, how to use it, what the purpose of your gift is. Our scripture passage today, which I'm going to give you a little bit of context before we jump in, comes out of the first book of Corinthians. So it's Corinthians 1, we're going to be in chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. Paul wrote to the Christians in Corinth to correct a lot of issues that were causing dissension within the church. Believe it or not, even the first churches had problems. It's okay. The humanity part is there. But we need to talk about it. We need to think about it. We need to be able to overcome it. Yes, believe it or not, following God has been a struggle since the beginning. That's not going to change. But this was the problem. In Corinth, there was an allure of things by the world that got in the way. They, too, took the temporary, the immediate gratifications, and they pulled them in, and they got in the way in church. Corinth was well known for prostitution and was a place that was filled with many different gods. Many different gods. So Paul's letter to them were critical in establishing Christianity long term, getting it to us today, and keeping it pure from all those local pagan beliefs. And while Christianity is much more secure today than it was, we still have a lot of work to do. So let's pray and we'll get into our passage and see where the Holy Spirit leads us. Father God, I thank you for this time. We specifically invite your Holy Spirit into our hearts, into our minds in a profound way that are going to open up the spiritual gifts that we possess as individuals. While there are individuals, there's something, individual gifts, there's something, God, we know and we trust that is collective in it. It's something for the greater good. And your Spirit will guide our hearts and our minds and will teach us exactly where those gifts are best utilized, and most importantly, that they come from you through the power of your Holy Spirit, whom we invite into the rest of our time today. And we just ask you, God, to guide our hearts and minds to draw closer to you. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I have this one marked, so I won't be fumbling quite as bad. And we're going to read through the first 11 verses and then kind of dissect those a little bit. Remember, Paul's writing to the church in Corinth, to Christians who are struggling, just like we do today. He says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, 'Let Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say Jesus is Lord except through the Holy Spirit." That is a great test right there. To profess the name of Jesus Christ, it takes the ability to possess the Holy Spirit in us. That's how we know true Christians, is if they can boldly proclaim Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Verse 4, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. And all these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses." Now, Corinth was divided over how to use their spiritual gifts. You see, they would take Paul's understanding and teaching of God and the gifts of the Spirit, and they would say, "Okay, I'm so wonderfully gifted in this, I'm now better than you. My spiritual gifts are more important than yours." But what did we just read? They're for the collective good, the common good. That's what our spiritual gifts are for, is to be utilized amongst believers to encourage because life is hard, to strengthen us because everything that we do is going to be challenged and tested. So knowing our spiritual gift is very, very important. As I mentioned, spiritual gifts are for believers. God works in salvation through the power of his Holy Spirit. We will leave that unto God. But the spiritual gifts that we're talking about are for building each other up. When you lose someone, when someone passes away, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your friend, it's a very isolated and alone feeling. But when someone has the gift of discernment that comes in and helps you, someone has the gift of knowledge and understanding how important it is to be there for the sake and the benefit of someone else, it makes it a little easier. Knowing you have people in your corner makes life much, much better. Satan doesn't want you to think that way. He doesn't want you to know. He wants you to feel isolated because he wants you to keep indulging. The world is a place of indulgence. But what happens after a bout of indulgence? We feel empty. We feel isolated. And we feel alone. What happens when you're in the collective spirit of God with other believers? You have joy and you can't stop processing how complete and whole that you feel. Another thing that they struggled with was arrogance about their gift. They felt like my gift is better than yours. Or another one that we run into a lot is people believe that they have no gift. I bet many of you have been through parts of your life that feel very average, very mundane, and very useless to the kingdom of God. But that's not what the Apostle Paul teaches us here. That's not what the Christians in Corinth and all the ones between then and now have come to learn because of God's holy word. So if you're feeling left out from that, I want to look at these individual gifts a little bit. I want to see if one of these sits in your heart, if one of these resonates with you. The first one and the first gift that we talk about, which I was speaking with the kids about, is the gift of wisdom. The gift of wisdom, again, isn't so much like knowledge. Knowledge is the second one. Knowledge, I'm sure there's some of you that I would want on my trivia team because you guys are full of knowledge. You're full of information, which is very useful and powerful and important. But I think the difference, like I said, of wisdom is you can take the experiences of other people without having experienced something, and you can correlate those two to give advice to someone who may be going through that, even though you never went through that yourself. Experience is by far one of the best things that we have for teaching and guiding other people. But some people just have this innate ability to lead and guide and direct you when you bring their problems to them and they kind of lay them back out, regardless of what's happened. So if either one of those, wisdom or knowledge, are you, utilize those gifts. Faith. Well, we all should have faith, right? Doesn't it seem a little odd that faith is a spiritual gift? But it's faith, like I said, at the lowest points of your life. My mother was a great example of faith when she'd lost everything that she had. She couldn't walk. She couldn't move. She couldn't hardly do anything. She was in a nursing home. She had no money. She had no possessions, which are very important to all of us. There was nothing there, but her faith didn't waver. She always praised God in that moment. And I'm not that strong in my faith. I will be the first one to admit it. I absolutely believe in God, and that won't change. But to stand in a place of adversity, I get brought to my knees, and I have to be reminded by people with the gift of faith that it's going to be okay. And then God shows himself in a profound way, and it's like, there it is. The gift of healing. There definitely was a difference in the way the Holy Spirit worked in the first century, in the way he worked in and amongst. We read about being healed and miraculous healings that maybe we don't see today. That doesn't necessarily mean that God has changed or the gifts have changed, but the purpose of those gifts was to bring Jesus alive, was to show that he was the Son of God, so that now everyone knew the Messiah had actually arrived. Now, when we look at the gift of healing, one pastor I knew, a man in his 90s, had lost his wife of like 50, 60-some years. And you know what he did every morning after that? For months on end, he went and sat with that man and had coffee with him because he didn't want him to feel alone. That's a gift of healing, isn't it? I'm not even that diligent. I love you, and I want to help you, and I will come to you. But to be that rigid in schedule and getting up at a certain time and being there, like I it's not there for me. We're going to get to where I feel like God's gifted me, but that's a gift of healing. It doesn't doesn't have to be a lay my hands on you right now and cure your cancer. It's a where would he be without that love? Where would he have been without that support? His heart was healed and mended. So for those of you that are that diligent, that are that caring, that is your gift. Own it. Embrace it. Make a difference in somebody's life. To another, the working of miracles. Again, miracles gets misconstrued a lot, and I don't necessarily have a lot of understanding to help with miracles, because miracles are things that seem to happen outside of the common time and space and physical world. We'll leave that to the power of the Holy Spirit. Just because I don't understand it doesn't mean I can't believe it. To another, prophecy. Prophecy in the Old Testament was the coming of the Messiah. But prophecy, or the prophets, often spoke a message from God to God's people. Maybe you're one of those that gets on the phone. Maybe you're like Joan, who every day writes a message that speaks unto people. That can be easily considered a gift of prophecy, is sharing a message from God with God's people. To another, discernment of spirits. I've met some people that are very in tune with the dark side of life, that can look and say, this is going on because that's Satan, or this is God. Like, there are people who really sense good and evil. I seem to be a little lost at times in what that looks like or where it's coming. Was this from you, God? But then others will come in right behind us and they'll affirm it. Whew. That was not of God, or this is of God. So if you have that connection to the good and evil forces, which are very prevalent around us, share that with others. And then a very controversial one, the kinds of tongues, you know, speaking in tongues. If we look at the way that happened at Pentecost, it came on so people of other real languages could come to understand what was happening. But there has to be an interpreter. Many people, even back in Corinth, Paul talks about this, as I was studying this last night, they like to grab on to this, I can speak in tongues, so it means I'm saved. It's an affirmation of faith. If I can't speak in tongues, then apparently the Holy Spirit isn't in me. But we have to understand that this spiritual tongues, or this tongues, is not necessarily just words or chatter that you no one else knows. Because right behind it, it says what? It says to another, interpretation of it. If the interpretation part's not there, it is of no value. Scripture also teaches us that. To lead people away to cause confusion and division does not help. There are those who do speak in angelic tongues, and I would never take that away. So my only bit of advice with that is, if you believe in your heart that it is of God and it's truth, absolutely. If it's something you're trying to manifest because other people do it, it's not for us. But regardless of what your gift is, all these are activated by one Spirit. And I want to read verse 28. Let's jump down to 28, because some of you are like, none of that applies to me, right? You're like, that is not it. Verse 28 is a little bit more practical. Paul broke it down a little further. It says, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. So you know what? That should cover all of us. So you can't come up and say, but I just don't have a gift. We all are given a God-given gift. Now, here's the deal. I want to share a little bit about what I feel like God has shown me as my gift, and that is of wisdom. Now, my disclaimer is not that I claim to know it all, because I clearly don't. I also acknowledge that I have a lot to learn, and I'm not better than anyone else because of my gift. And in fact, I don't even like having a lot of attention drawn to myself. I like to kind of live a more incognito life. But here's what I want you to know. My gifts of wisdom come from hardship, especially on the emotional level. My childhood taught me, all of these things were by the age of 16 years old. My child taught me what poverty was like. It taught me what chronic illness was and what being a caregiver is. How many of you guys have been in the caregiving side and seen the ugliness of that? That's not easy. Imagine being a teenager, a preteen, going through those things. I've seen addiction. Some of these were around my friends. Some of them were in my own household. Emotional abuse, physical abuse, social inequality. I became a parent by the age of 16 years old. That'll make you grow up really fast. really fast. And then death of a parent. Some of you still have elderly parents to this day. I am somebody that has neither of my parents at 34. Some of you know the feeling of losing your child. Fortunate am I to be able to walk through my own son's death of his mother as a teenager. Those are experiences that you don't want, but they sure can be helpful for those who need it. Abandonment by family, rejection, and even infidelity. Because I chose to entertain adult relationships too soon, I also got to experience trust issues. So when I say I have a gift of knowledge, it comes the hard way. It comes in a way that I wouldn't wish anybody had it, but here we are. So I want to highlight a few of these things that lead me into my gifting as adult. Chronic illness and the caregiver side. The hardest thing to do is to be with someone at their worst day in and day out and to be there because they emotionally are struggling and you are physically exhausted, and I've seen this play out time and time again. So for those of you who understand that, just know it's not personal. It's just a product of your environment, and God's better than that. It's not eternal. There is no pain. There is no suffering of that in eternity. Let's see. Social inequality. That was a big one that taught me a lot. My father would take me out, and we'd fish, and we'd do all these awesome things that kind of gave me solitude and comfort in nature. But if I went to school, I was a heavy kid. I wasn't the most attractive kid. I wasn't the most athletic kid. So every people group that I tried to get involved with, I was always ousted. I wasn't good enough. As a child experiencing that you aren't good enough over and over and over again, you're left very broken. So then that segues into losing my father when I did, because he was, at 16, he was the only one that made me feel whole and complete again. Remember, my mother's disabled. I didn't get that nurturing, loving, coddling mother that is so beautiful that I get to watch my children get. That is amazing. But that's hard. So imagine all those emotional, painful moments that you're processing that all lead up to that rejection and that struggle. So when I stand here today and tell you that I have a gift of wisdom, it's because I've experienced so many different emotions and feelings and thoughts that many people take a lifetime to experience. You know, when I meet somebody who's 65 and still has their parent or parents, I don't know what that is, other than a huge blessing from God. So take and absorb every minute of that. My father-in-law, who lost both of his parents, and he's in his 50s now, and they've both been gone for a little bit. When my mom died, he looked at me and goes, "Well, you're an orphan now." And I just kind of played that off, but he too was an orphan, and that set in me, and I came to understand that. So our gifts are something God gives us to help each other. You look around the room right here. This and the other believers that we know, regardless of denomination, are what God intends us to use our spiritual gifts to benefit and to build up. You withholding your gifts is withholding encouragement and support from the people who are grasping onto their faith and saying, "I don't want to let go, but I don't know how I can continue." So can we let this sermon go on for the rest of the week? Can we think about who we are to God, what our individual gifts are? It's very, 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 very important. But my gift is a product of life, as is yours. God chose me to be the unlikely voice that gets people's attention. We went to a wonderful birthday party last night, and by far we were definitely some of the younger friends. No, there's nothing bad about that. But that's who we resonate with. I love hanging out with 50, 60, 70-year-olds because I feel like from a life experience standpoint, we're on the same level. But then I also have my kids that keep me young, and I'm young enough that I can be understanding in that. And while I would never, ever encourage you having kids as a teenager, I have a unique perspective into their lives that my children, my teenage children really appreciate. And while I can apologize for my mistakes all day long, because I've made way more than I should, which is a product of my gift, they help me They help me with my children. They help me with you. They help me in public. And I just want you to own your gift. You know, life is important right now. We're kind of brought, you know, the pandemic has brought us to a point of asking what's important. What should we focus on? Where are we going? Number one is Scripture. But then what are we supposed to do with that? So let's think about this week what we're supposed to do with the gifts that God has given us, because you all have one. And I think four people raised their hands. So we got work to do. Pray, petition God. Ask him, let me know. And when he gives you it, embrace it. Regardless of what's against you, regardless if you're young, embrace your gift from God and go out and encourage your circle of believers in the body of Christ so we all get to spend eternity together. That is worth ending on right there. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your Scripture. It teaches us to be alive. It teaches us who we are. It shows you that while you give us these individual gifts, collectively it says that it is for the common good. Another verse highlighted by the person who held my Bible before me. This is something that is meant to be shared. We can't just hide from it. The deceiver wants us to be gratified by the world around us instantly, to leave your gifts, the sacrifice, the hardships that come with our faith, leave them aside. But we're not going to do that as a church. We're going to completely submit ourselves unto you and come to know who we are and what we're supposed to do and where we're supposed to be because we submit ourselves to you, Father. And we do that in the name of Jesus Christ, our holy Savior. And all God's people said, amen. Let's get our next hymn going here. How about we? It's going to be Living for Jesus, and we're going to sing the first three verses on page 372. Living for Jesus, verses 1 through 3. This is the pathway of blessings for me. Oh Jesus, I give myself to thee, for thou in thy atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. Living for Jesus, who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer his call, follow his leading, and give him my all. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thy atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. Living for Jesus wherever I am, doing each duty in his holy name, willing to suffer affliction and loss, deeming each trial apart from my cross. O Jesus,
Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thy atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone.
We come to this time of prayer and supplication unto God. We also come to praise God. I know that Joanna's passing was devastating this past week. It was sudden. Her mother, Marilyn, is going to definitely have an adjustment that is really unfair in a lot of ways. That's how it comes across. And I'm not going to sugarcoat that. I got the privilege to work in the household several times since coming to meet you guys and get to see them. And each time Marilyn would say, I'm so blessed to have her take care of me. That's going to be hard. So please, for those of you who are personal and connected enough, I know she was Gail's best friend since kindergarten. I know that there's a lot of hurt there, and they're going to be traveling back from Myra Bell's 100th birthday celebration. But please, 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 as a church family, be encouraging, be there. I know they're going to do a graveside service on Tuesday, I believe. So definitely have to be in that one. That one stung pretty hard, a lot, and I've been involved in a lot of communications surrounding that. And you guys know them better. So please, please, please pray and lift them up and be encouraging. Are there any other prayer requests this morning? Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Help me with the last name again. Whit Connect. Yeah. We know that, yes, Elaine's friends in Arkansas, who she traveled to go see earlier this year, they buried their son suddenly of COVID. Now the mother has entered hospice care. So the Whit Connect family, please be in prayer for them. Yes, ma'am. Praise, for sure. Anne's grandson has some seizure issues that he's always battling and has gotten COVID and is now improving, though, from that. So that's a praise for God. You doing pretty good over there with your recovery?
Yeah.
Yeah, a bit tired. Taken a toll, and I'm seeing those who are passing away at a lot younger ages. So it's definitely something that we need to petition God for and just ask for, if nothing else, understanding and comfort to go through it. Yes, sir. Kathy.
Prayers for Elaine on my wife. She had surgery this past week.
We prayed for her last week, so thank you for the update. John's wife, Kathy, had knee replacement surgery last week, so she is in recovery now. And would you say they got her up walking around after 2 hours? Is that what they do now?
Yeah.
That sounds terrible. Go in and surgically operate and then make me walk on it. But I get it. Recovery hurts. And I guess that could be a statement and a testament to what we've been talking about all day, is recovery from all aspects of life isn't always easy, but somewhere in that pain brings healing. And we can't shield ourselves from the pains of life, no matter how much grief they may bring us, because, as I talked about, the storms, the calm, all those things will bring us to a place of peace. And this isn't our life. We're travelers. Well, it is our life, but this isn't our home, right? Anybody else? Any praises or prayer requests? Yes, ma'am.
Yeah,
happy 89th to Mary Jane, who we got to celebrate.
I need to follow up on that, too. I'm so blessed to have so many family and friends who helped me to get through this 89th.
89th. Well, I know, right? You were even saying, you're like, why don't we wait till the 90th? And last night was pretty great, so I don't. Where are we going, guys, for a 90th? We'll do it in the summer, and maybe we'll just exclusively rent out Knights Action Park just for the family, free rides all the way through. Oh, there's relief when it comes to bringing these prayers before God. There's relief in the joy of fellowship and sharing these memories together, and I just want us to draw closer in that. That's what our gifts will bring us. Anybody else? Prayers for all college students, really everybody affected, especially medical personnel, and just even within the school systems and the talks about shutdowns and masking and everything else again, and just the way it's all coming about. We got to really do some serious soul searching, because even as a church, we're divided on what our beliefs are and what we think is best in that. But as long as we have care and consideration for our fellow man, and at the end of the day, remember that Jesus Christ died for all of us, he sacrificed unto all of us, we'll get through it together. Yes, sir. Yes. A nation divided, and that is something that we see. And there's always some level, but now it seems more than ever. Thank you, John. Prayers for our nation. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this time to come before you where we can open up. We can open up as individuals. We can share the burdens that are on our hearts. We can share the griefs that cause us to maybe shield away from your gifts, to feel overcome and overwhelmed. But when we come to you, whether it be recovery from surgery, whether it be loss of life, whether it be just trying to navigate and understand the uncertainties of an ever-changing policy on things for college students, for employers, we need to realize that you're in this, you transcend all time and space, and you're bigger than all of our problems. You're bigger than the individual pains and hurts that we face. And you had a plan of redemption that you brought forth in your son Jesus. When we hold on to our love for Jesus and when we come to know him, not just come visit him once in a while on Sundays or an occasional prayer before dinner, when we come to know him and trust him and put our effort and our mind and our thoughts and our hearts into your son, you bring forth peace. Peace is what I pray for. Peace is what I ask. And we ask your special blessing over the rest of this week as we try to consider what our gifts are. And I pray, God, that you allow each of us to grow in understanding of what that is. As we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I was actually doing a graveside service, and I forgot the words to the Lord's Prayer right in the middle. It was pretty devastating. And then I came here, and you guys switched trespasses to debts on me. So I've really had an adjustment, but I got through it, and I get through it. And you know what? Whether it's trespasses or whether it's debts, we're humbly submitting ourselves to God in prayer. So let's stand and sing. We'll just do the last verse of Blessed be the tie that binds on page 286. I kept you a little long. When we assault, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again. That is our hope, to meet again eternally, where there is no death, nothing can conquer us, and we will be with God in glory forever. Amen? Go in peace. Have a great week, and God bless you guys.